You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
Luke 6 verse 15, we're continuing in our series, which is Extraordinary. And so we're believing God. This is going to be the penultimate sermon. You know, that is the one before the last one. Amen. And so I learned that word recently. Amen. So I was waiting for an opportunity just to... Okay, no one's impressed. Before we get into the word, just to let people know that we are having an old school concert at the end of this month. And so it's going to be very good. And so we've already got our ministers scurrying away, working on new tracks. Amen, ministers.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so we will have the flyers by the end of the week, and so we need to start pumping this already. Amen. A lot of people are saying, you know, recently things we've been doing is good, but we need to kind of pump it more. Amen. Get more people to come out and get behind it more, and I believe as we do that, we will see more results. Amen. Well, like I said, we've gone through some of the disciples, and so actually, let's just do a little quiz. That's the word. A little quiz. This is impromptuous, and so don't shout out, because it's always going to be like it won't be ineligible. Does anybody remember the first one that we did? What do we say? Don't shout out. Someone just shouted out. Yeah. There's always one, isn't there? Anybody remember the first one? Okay, Melissa.
Peter.
Okay, very good. Okay, the next one. No, you can't have it all. There's always one. I can imagine her in Bible study. Anybody, the second one?
There's a hand over there.
Okay, yes. Andrew, very good. The third one. Woo! No, Melissa, we won. Peggy.
James.
Yeah, it was James, yes. I had to think about it then. Okay, next one. You didn't even wait for me to get to you, man. You went, John? Yes, it was. Okay, the next one. We don't even have to get it in order now, because if you get it in order, extra points. Oh, my days. All right, Melissa, what was it? Okay, that's it now. Don't put your hand up again. The next one. There's a hand that went up and then went down. Okay, you kept your hand up. Thomas, wasn't the next one, but we have done it.
Nathaniel,
yes. Okay, next one after that.
Matthew.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay, next one. We've already did it, didn't we? We always spoke about it. Huh? Go for it.
What is it, Thomas?
You ask it. What is it, Thomas? Yeah, that's biblical name. What is it, Thomas? The root word of what is it? And so, okay, so yeah, I believe that's all. That's all we've done so far. So it's good that you can remember all the disciples. Well, most of the disciples. Well, we're going to do something a little different tonight. We're going to do 3-in-1. Because there is very little in the scriptures about these three. And so we're going to do 3. And then next week, guess who we're doing?
Judas.
Yeah, he gets his own sermon. And so come to church next week prepared to find out if there's a Judas in you. Actually, I don't even know if that's going to be the sermon. I just said that just to spice it up, you know, a bit of advertising. Amen. Okay. As we've gone through this series, we've seen that all of these guys are different, but they are all disciples. And what we've seen is that God is able to use us even though we're all different. And as you're here today, we are a different, we're one body full of different people. And And we see also with these disciples that many of them went through different battles. They struggled. They all kind of struggled in their own way. They all struggled in their own way. And that should really encourage us, because how many know we struggle in our own way? We have battles and struggles. But this is the encouraging thing, and this is really what I want you to draw out of this series, that no matter how different you are, and no matter how different your struggles are, God is still able to use you. God is still able to use you, man. And this is what, you know, you do not have to be exactly like me for God to use you. You may be someone who is extrovert, introvert. You may be someone who is into this, or very sporty, or you may be someone who's very intellectual. God is not going to change all of that to use you. He can use you the way you are. He can use you the way you are. We understand there are things that will change. You do need to be sanctified. You do need to make Him Lord and lay down your sin. And allow Him to build your character. But what we've seen is, as God has used many different people in the scriptures. The Bible says in Luke 6 verse 15, it says, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your Holy Spirit. We pray for your presence. We pray, Father, that you would empower us. We pray, Father, as your disciples, Lord, that you'd help us to grow and, Father, use our lives. Father, even though we are different in many aspects, we can still come together under the banner of Christ, under the power of the gospel, Father, under the unction of your Spirit, and be one body, accomplishing one mission, lifting up the name of Jesus and seeing souls saved. We ask you this in Jesus' name, and God's people said,
Amen.
So we're going to look at James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And so I want to start with James, the son of Alphaeus. And so really and truly, we do not see nothing about this guy that stands out. There is really very little about him. And so what that means, there are two Jameses in the group of disciples. And nothing, you know, think about this now. Nothing really is recorded about him. When you think about the amount that you could pull out about Peter, the amount that you could pull out about some of the other disciples, here is nothing really coming out of, nothing is recorded. The Holy Spirit doesn't put anything about this guy that much, hardly anything, like nothing. And I was thinking about this, is that at this point we would say he's just an ordinary guy that really doesn't stand out. And sometimes in our life we can feel like this, is that I'm just an ordinary guy and I don't really stand out. I don't have these amazing powers, I don't mean like supernatural powers or superhero powers, but I'm not this amazing person. I'm not the funniest, I'm not the fastest, I'm not the strongest, I'm not this, I'm just average. And the name James is very common. Even, Bible, it's a very common Bible name. That's the word I'm saying. Because you think about it now, you have the James, which is the brother of John. This is the half of the Sons of Thunder team. You have James, which is the half brother of Jesus. And that's where we get the book of James. Remember when we went through that last year? We have James, which is the father of Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but Judas, who we're going to look at. And so you see all these Jameses in the Bible. So in Bible times, it would have been a very common name. And so there's nothing distinct about this guy. Actually, in Mark 15, verse 40, it actually calls him James the Less. That's what he was called, James the Less. And so it's like, what does that actually mean, James the Less? Well, it probably would communicate that he is either small or he's young. And so here you have this guy who's not really, known for saying much, not really, he's a young guy. And so he's probably one of the youngest guys maybe in the group that they would call him that. Because if he was older, more senior, they wouldn't have called him James the Less. Can I say to you here today, you may seem or feel that you're insignificant. You may not be one of those people that stands out in a crowd or has ever really stood out in any social setting. Can I say to you today, God can still use you. God still wants to use you, even though you may not stand out. You may not be walking down the street and somebody spots you and they, oh, we want you to be the next face of Vanity magazine, or you're going to be a supermodel like whoever. That maybe doesn't happen to you, so you say, oh, I guess I'm nothing. No, God can still use you. You may be someone who's very young in this church. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 verse 12, let no one despise your youth. Timothy was always conscious about his youth. Could I do this? He's hesitant. But the Bible says, but be an example to the believers in the word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That speaks to the young people of this church. That you may be young and you're thinking, oh, well, I'm just coming here. No one really knows me. No one really sees me. No one's talking. I'm just one of the young people here. But the Bible's telling us, listen, God can still use you. You may be overlooked by man, but you're never overlooked by God. And God can use you. And so we see this one guy who we don't know much about, but he's still a disciple. He's still a disciple. He's still one of the 12. That means his name is still going to be eternalized in heaven. His name is among the 12 for all eternity. This guy that really is just, they call man called the less. James said, listen, nevertheless, I'm going to use you. Let me move on to the next guy. Here we've got a total different guy, Simon called the Zealot. In Mark 3 verse 18, it says Simon the Canaanite. Let me give you a little background here. When it says Simon the Canaanite, that word is actually not talking about a geographical place or an ethnic origin. That word Canaanite, when you see the translation of it, it just means zealot again. And so both times, he's known as Simon the Zealot. The Zealot was a Jewish group in Bible times, that they were basically Jewish radicals. They believed in, the Jewish law, and these were the guys that, they would go around and cause trouble for the Romans, because no Romans going to be ruling us. We're Jews, man. We want to bring this back to when David was just rolling around, batting up everybody. And that's what they was like, listen, we can't be under that. Why should we be under some pagan king? No, God is our king. And so they would be just causing problems and riots and stabbing people and assassinating people. This is who this guy was. Simon the Zealot, fiery guy, a radical, a man with radical beliefs. He's a hardliner. But the amazing thing is that Jesus was still able to use him as a disciple. Think about how would he have felt when Jesus was preaching, love your neighbor? When Jesus was preaching, forgive those that persecute you? When before, in his belief system, no, we need to destroy the Romans, kill the Romans. We need to fight against them. He was a zealot. And then he follows Jesus, and Jesus is able to show him, listen, you are a hardliner, you're zealous, you've given your life to this, you're radical. But Jesus sells him, not sells the message, but Jesus communicates to him a vision, and this man gets radically saved and says, you know what, I'm going to follow this mission. Can I say to you today, there is nothing, we're coming up to the elections, I think it's next month, beginning of next month, and people should vote if they want to vote as your conscience leads. And you can be, really into politics and campaigning, and you can be an activist, and you want to change social things and all of that. Can I say to you today, until man preaches the gospel, nothing will really change. Nothing. I'm old enough to, I remember Maggie Thatcher, conservative. I've been under Labour, now conservative, now coalition. And can I tell you, it's still the same. Yes. It's still the same. Sin is still sin. Yes. People are still selfish. People are still greedy. People are still lonely. People are still insecure. Doesn't matter who we vote in. I'm not saying don't vote. I will vote. I believe to to vote. I have the right to vote. I will vote. But at the same time, Jesus is the real message that will change this world. This message of the gospel. And we see that Jesus is able to use that. I always think, imagine if this guy, you know, a zealot, this is like a terrorist, man, coming into the church, and we think, could he get saved? Could he get, listen, he could get saved. If we bring him into the presence of God, sitting under the presence of God, the preaching of God, Jesus can stir anybody. Jesus can get anybody saved. And God can use your life. Last guy, Judas, the son of James. In the Bible, John, I love the way this, the Bible just, Bible's just keeping it real. John 14 verse 22 says, Judas, in brackets, not Iscariot. Just letting you know, you need to recognize that ain't, not the traitor, not the betrayer. And so, you know, it's like the Bible's just saying, listen, this is not that guy. And the Bible says that he said to Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? Judas. Now, we know the name Judas. So there's two Judases in the pack, basically. And we know the name Judas as traitor now. I mean, imagine you grew up with, you know, no one's going to, you met someone and they just had a baby boy. Hey, what's the name? Judas. You'd be like, hey, what's going on, man? We don't want that name no more. That name has been, you know, soiled, we could say. But actually, it had a good meaning in Bible times. There was many Judases in Bible time. It means Jehovah leads. That's what it means, Jehovah leads. In Matthew 10 verse 3, it shows us that he actually has three names. They call him Labius, and his also name is Thaddeus. And so that's the same guy. So this Judas, the son of James, or Labius, or Thaddeus. It's the same guy. Just like Simon Peter, same guy. And so if you're looking at, how come, you know why there's those different names. When you look at Labius and Thaddeus, the meaning of those names means, the best way for me to explain it is a warmth of character. It actually means a bit, it's a bit softer. It might even mean like mummy's boy. But it means kind of warmth of character. And you kind of see this in this guy, his question, because he says to Jesus, when I read in John 14, 22, he says, Lord, how is it that you manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And it's almost like, God, you know, what's going on here? We see a guy who's quite sensitive. A sensitive guy. Now, let me say this now. Sensitivity doesn't mean you're soft. Come on. Sensitivity doesn't mean you're soft. You know, and if I'm honest, can I be honest? Yeah. You know, I realize I struggle with that a little bit. I think it's just, you know, haven't had the best of upbringings. But, you know, just like sensitive and soft. It's like I put them together and it's soft. Well, you know, my, you know, the silly things. My, hey, babe, I'm not soft. I'm not soft. But being sensitive doesn't mean that you're soft. And here is a man that God uses, which probably is a, you know, here is a man that has a warm character, a man who is probably a little bit more sensitive than most of the guys there. And you see by his question, Jesus was still able to use him. And we live in a world today, you know, where you know, of the corporate company executive, and we grew up with television and presenters, and it's all about the X factor. Like, hi, how are you? And you got to be confident and bold and bombast and all of this. And so if you're going to be used, you've got to, listen, God can use you the way you are. Amen. God can use you the way you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Yeah. Like, you know, and because it comes across manufactured, contrived. It's very fake. Yeah. Sometimes you've seen this, if you've ever gone to a few conferences and there's a guy, he'll give a report, and there's a guy and everyone's, yeah. And the next guy gets up there and he's almost like he's got to, no, just be yourself. Just be yourself. You don't know, yeah. It's like, it becomes, of course, manufactured. It's fake. Now, obviously, we understand there is a certain emotion and passion. If you're talking about hell, you're like, yeah, you could go to hell. and burn for all eternity. You know, you're not communicating the seriousness of that there. But we're talking about you being yourself. The more I looked, you know, the more I've gone through this series and doing my own study and looking at these disciples, it makes me realize that even though these guys are very different, they really all had one thing in common. They were genuine disciples of Jesus Christ. They found something in Jesus they could not find anywhere else. Think about this now. All of us can be different. All of us can have a different background, different personality. But what makes a genuine disciple is that you found something in Jesus that nothing else can offer. The Bible says in Luke 10 verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. Listen to this, 70 others also. At one point, Jesus actually sent out 70 disciples, and they were praying and doing things for people. There were 70. We know the 12, but when Jesus was around, there were 70. You see that there? Jesus was rolling with a crowd. But it got to a point where Jesus, and this is so different, than how we would work. Jesus gets to a point, so he's got these 70 disciples rolling with Jesus, this crowd, and he just sends them out. Yeah, you go here. And so they're going out two by two, they're praying for people, casting out demons, they're doing all of this stuff. And so we would be like, yeah, things are rolling. We need to get that 70, make disciples, we need to double it, we'll have 140. We could just roll like that, and then we doubled 140, we could be like 300 almost. This is how it is. But Jesus doesn't look at it. Jesus says, listen, there's a lot of people here. I need to find out who's really with me. That's how Jesus is it. Jesus looks at it and he sees a crowd, and he doesn't just get happy there's a crowd. He says, listen, I need to find out who's really with me. Then he says this. We see it, something that happens here. Jesus starts making some statements. He says, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you ain't down with me. And so these are Jews. Jews, you listen, Jesus, no. Someone could have brought him to, Jesus, listen, your crowd is Jewish. You don't talk to Jews about drinking blood and eating flesh, man. You need to talk about kosher things. You know, this is how you need to roll. If you want to get this crowd, man, you've done it. Jesus, listen, you're doing this all wrong. But Jesus says, no, I know what I'm doing. Well, he doesn't say that, but I'm just... He makes this statement, and the Bible says in John 6 verse 60, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is hard saying. Who can understand it? So Jesus had this big crowd, and he starts to say, you need to eat of me. Now, Jesus wasn't speaking about cannibalism. He wasn't talking in the literal physical. We understand the interpretation of this as we go to the Last Supper, where Jesus says, listen, you need to drink this cup in remembrance of me. You need to eat this bread every time you do this, and this is for me. But what he's saying is that you need to be committed to me. That's what he was saying. Jesus is saying, you need to be committed, full on committed, to the point that I'm in you. I'm so in you. Like you ate me. Like I'm just in you. I'm mixed in with you. That's how close and committed Jesus is saying. That's what you need to be. He sees this crowd of 70 men. He's like, listen, this is what you guys have got to do. The Bible says many of them were like, boy, did you hear that? Like, I like the demon thing, casting out demons. That was fun. And when he sent me out and I was praying for the sick, eyes were popping. I loved all of that. And when I heard about he walks on the water and he's multiplying fish, was you there? Yeah, I was there, bro. I was hungry that day. And he just multiplied that thing, man. I like that. But this, I didn't sign on for this. And the Bible, listen to what the Bible says. 66 of John 6, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. The crowd thinned out. And it thinned out, not like 10% lost. Not, listen, it went down that basically all that was left was the 12. It's just the 12. These ragtag group that I've been speaking about over the last few weeks. They were the ones that were left. Yes, James is there. James don't speak to nobody. James is less. But he's, at least he's stuck around. Simon the Zealot. This is zealot, you know, this is the James and John, the sons of thunder. Let's call down fire upon them. At least he stuck with them. Peter, that's always putting his foot in his mouth. Peter's nuts. We spoke about the first week, this guy's nuts. Nathaniel, Philip, Matthew, all of these guys that we would be like, listen, but they stuck with him.
Right.
This was the quality of their discipleship, that they stuck with him.
Yeah.
And you, what would you say? Like, you've made this declaration, guys, this is where I'm at. Everybody leaves, 12 a day, you'd be like, yeah, yeah, respect that, bro. You got my back, respect, respect. Just hugs and patting on the back, and yeah, 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 do this. Jesus doesn't do that. Listen to what Jesus says, verse 67. Do you also want to go away? No, no, Jesus, come on. You just lost most. Are you trying to? That's what Jesus, is checking. Even there, Jesus is going to check again. Do you also want to go away? What Jesus is looking at, he wants to know, why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you down with me? What do you want from me? What do you want me to give you? Why are you here, really? And I love this, because in my spirit many times, through my difficulties, through my trials, through my failures, this is what is echoed in my spirit. Verse 68, but Simon Peter, remember Jesus is like, hey, are you going to go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeah, it may be difficult. Yeah, but I don't really want to drink your blood and eat your flesh. But I tell you, if I got to do it, because where else can I go? Where else can I go? Who else can give me eternal life? Listen, ladies, you can run out of this church into the arms of a man, but on judgment day, that man cannot save your soul. Young man, you can run out of this place and make money all different ways, but there is no money. You couldn't make enough money to buy your way into heaven. There is only one that has the words of eternal life. That's Jesus. And yeah, my journey might be hard. Hey, why don't you just go back? Go back to what? What do you want me to go back to? Go back to raving? Go back to drugs? Go back to alcohol? Go back to this? What do I go back to? Because I'm going to die if after I go back. And then what happens to me? Sometimes it's just climb or die.
Yeah.
I ain't got no other options. Hey, listen, sometimes if I had another option, I would have taken it. But I got no other. Who else has the words? Jesus starts to really deal with it. See, a disciple, we see some characteristics here. The marks of a disciple. Luke 9, verse 57. Down to 61. The Bible says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, this is to Jesus, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. The devil. I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds have nests, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So they're like, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, man. I want to be a disciple. I want to be down. I want ministry. What do I need to do? Jesus says, listen, you want to follow me? He says, listen, I don't even know where I'm sleeping tonight. Huh? What do you mean you don't know where you're sleeping tonight? So he said, I don't know where I'm sleeping tonight. Come follow me. No, I'm coming to you for a stabler life. I'm coming to you for a house, car, wife, husband, job, money, health. I'm coming to you for that. Jesus needs to test him and says, listen, I got nowhere to live. You still want this? I'll come back to you on that one. But the Bible says in verse 59, so we're still in the same chapter, but I love this, man. This is bad. Then he said to another, so he's gone to another guy, rolls up to another guy, yo, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Nah, come on, all right. Jesus, come on, you're the Prince of Peace, the lover of our soul. You know, you're so kind. You're the one wraps us in your arms. We sing those songs. Jesus ain't got no problem with that. Come on. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. Hey. And you go and preach the kingdom of God. Think about that. Do you know what it is? Many times we're trying to make it more easier for people to be genuine Christians. Jesus says, no. I need to know if you're with me. Jesus says, I need to be before family.
Come on,
that's right.
Amen.
Yep. Yep.
That's right.
Yep. If serving God offends your family, can you still serve him? But why should it, Pastor? It will. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Come on, that's, you know, he's saying, let me just go back to my house and just, you know, chill for a little bit and just, you know, kind of get myself psyched up. I'll do it soon. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. This is a genuine disciple. In our world today, you know, and much of Christianity and much of ministry, and we've diluted Jesus. We have Jesus light. We have diet Jesus. Where it's like, you know, it tastes like Jesus, kind of looks like Jesus, but without the calories of conviction.
Come on.
Or maybe it's Jesus Max, where it's kind of like the trendy Jesus, where he's got a new era hat on to his back. Just, you can come and be my homie. Being a disciple costs. It costs. And we look at these men and we don't see any distinctive that we can say, oh, God only uses those type of people. No. There's no distinctive. God can use all of us here. He can use all of us. But what there does need to be, the only distinctive that we see, is these men are loyal and faithful and committed. But they were still just men and they needed more. And the Bible says really what capped it off for them is Acts 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. This is really what makes it. These men had met with Jesus. And they had seen something in Jesus that this world could not give them. Nothing in this planet. They had got the revelation. We can't find this anywhere else. And what Jesus does is, because you may look at this, Jesus being wicked. No, what he's doing is this. He's seeing if you really are worthy of him from a perspective of, have you really seen him? Because if you've really seen him, then you're like, I will put him first. I will still follow him if there's nowhere to put my head. I will still follow him that if I've got to put him before family. I will still follow him. That's the Jesus that you've got to see. That's what a disciple is. But the Bible says, really and truly, they do not really perform or have any effectiveness until the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And it's the Holy Spirit that really makes these men what they are and to do what they do. And this is why we need the Holy Spirit upon us and upon our ministry and everything we do for Jesus. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.